You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A brief program note. Young Americans vote at just half the rate their elders do. As we move into an election year, a nonpartisan group is trying to encourage the youth vote in six battleground states. Join Neil Conan on Monday in this hour for a look at the Young Voters Project. We're talking today about high-tech gifts with my guests, Suzanne Cantor-Kirshner, technology editor for Popular Science Magazine, and David Pogue, state-of-the-art columnist for New York Times in New York and author of many, many, many books on all kinds of computer stuff. Too long to list. We'd have to go off the air. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can go to the phones and take a call here from Brooke in Naples, Florida. Hi, Brooke.
Hello, Ira.
Hi there.
I am a high school teacher here in Naples. And I hate to come across as Scrooge in this fantastic show, but if nobody has noticed, laziness and overweight seems to be running rampant in this country. And I think the technology craze is somewhat a contributor to that situation. I teach technology in high school. And it's a struggle for me to get students to incorporate the research and actual some learning components in real-world situations with their technology. It's a challenge, and I'd like to see us find some sort of a happy medium with reality and technology and making us a little more healthy mentally and physically.
So you think that our kids are too much dependent on high technology things?
I think they become dependent, and it's not so much dependence, maybe that's a similar word to habitual, because it just becomes a habit. I have students that they come into class, and the first thing they do is sign on to the Internet and begin playing games. And then because that's the habit they've gotten into, and they do that at school, and they do that at home, and they do that at parties.
Hey, I'm with you on this one. I got three kids. I've watched them do all of this.
So, I mean, the technology is fantastic, and it certainly makes my life easier.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that we try to make sure that recording all of our programs, and I have family members that have these things that they can really make sure they don't miss any of their favorite stuff, as long as it doesn't become consuming of their entire life.
Yeah. Well, this strange attractors toy from Design Science Toys, you'd like that in your classroom. It's quite creative. And good luck, and thanks for calling us.
Thank you so much.
1-800-989-8255. And my youngest daughter, who's just 13, was doing rocketry the other day, so blasting off her own rockets. One actually landed on the Merritt Parkway, David. So watch out. Dave, what about gift subscriptions? People give gift subscriptions. I don't know what to get somebody. I got a gift subscription. Any ideas for tech gift subscription stuff?
I've got a great one. I'm a big fan of Netflix, which is, of course, this Netflix.com, this service that lets you check out as many DVDs as you want a month. You can have three out at any one time. There's no late fees. There's no deadlines. There's no shipping charges either way. The only thing is it's, $20 a month for as long as you want to remain a member. So they have gift subscriptions now. So it's a perfect way to give somebody, in an increment that you choose, the joy of having a virtually unlimited DVD. I think they have every DVD ever made, just about every movie. So for 1 or 2 months, they can have a DVD fest on you.
Suzanne?
Love Netflix. And they have the same kind of service for video games, too, if your special someone is a gamer.
Yeah. But you have to use a certain number of... Is there a break-even point of how many films and things you need to watch per month before it's, there's a break-even with going to your local video store?
So go ahead, Suzanne.
I was just going to say, if you have young kids and they have an appetite for different kinds of movies than you do, you're going to actually go through a fair number of DVDs. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you watch it, you put it in the mail and something else is on your queue. So you can really make use of it very easily and get a benefit.
Let's talk a bit about something I drool over a lot but haven't got the bucks to put down yet for these high-definition video screens, for the TVs that start at 42 inches and go up to God knows what. And then there you have your plasma, you have your projection, David. You did a column recently on that.
I still believe that, unless you're some kind of, style victim, fashion status seeker, there's no particular urgency to buying the big flat panel screens right now. The high-definition ones are still $7,000 and up. And plasma screens have a limited lifespan, only so many thousand hours, and they are susceptible to burn-in. And So we're really not totally there yet in terms of the need, and the prices on them are dropping about $2,000 a year. So just remember, before you spend $7,000 on a high-definition plasma, or you can get for $3,000, you can get what's called an enhanced definition plasma. That's the quality of a DVD, but not high definition. Mm. But either way, just remember how you feel next Christmas when that thing will be selling for $2,000 less.
Suzanne's going to give us the contrarian view on that, perhaps. Are you an early adopter? You have to get these things as soon as they come. I can tell.
I have a plasma display, I have to admit, and I love it. I mean, just the ability to watch that kind of crystal clear image, the crispness of the grass when you're watching football. You just get sucked into the movies when you're watching them. And, you know, of course, that's only enhanced definition, as David said. So what are you going to be watching for the next 5 years? Are you going to be watching mainly movies where you're not going to have to go up to that higher resolution? Of course you're going to want a higher resolution display, but, you know, your needs now may be such that you need a flat panel, and this $3,000 may be within your ballpark. Mm-hmm.
And just to throw this out, too, there are now widescreen, high-definition, regular TVs, you know, tube TVs. That's actually what I have for, you know, less than a third that much money. You can get actually a better picture with deeper blacks, no burn-in issues, and no obsolescence problems. Still the widescreen for the DVDs.
Right. Interesting. Tom in Moorcroft, Wyoming. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you for taking my call, Ira.
Go ahead.
Just a couple of quick notes. Just 2 days ago, got a little Audiovox 8600 cell phone, and I have to agree with the gentleman there stuck on the parkway that you want to watch your carrier, because in Wyoming we refer to it euphemistically as cell hell, because we don't have a lot of towers out here. But the little 8600 by Audiovox is a tri-mode phone. It's got virtually everything but a Palm OS. You can hook it up to your computer with a USB cable, download from Outlook, do all your addressing, messages, got text messaging. It's a phenomenal little bargain. Color screen.
Does it take pictures, Tom?
It does not take pictures.
Do you really want your phone to take pictures?
No, not where I am.
I don't.
I don't think they do either. No, we'll leave that alone. But no, it is a phenomenal little phone, under $200.
Oh, that's great.
But I do have one comment. If we could get Kyocera to put an outside screen on their 7135 or the next generation of whatever they do with their PDA/phone combination. I've got the old 6035. Works beautifully. But with caller ID, I can look at it and say, no, they can leave a message.
Yeah.
With the 7135, you either have to disable the flip to answer so that it doesn't answer when you flip it, or, you know, you're kind of stuck, and caller ID at that point is a little silly. So,
all right, we'll see what we can do for you. Thanks for calling.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you,
guys. Have a good day.
Let's talk about this phone that takes. Is this a fad? Is this going to go away, I can hope, Suzanne? Why do we want a phone that takes pictures?
Well, it depends on how you look at taking pictures. And some people use imaging very differently than maybe we did when we were growing up. When we were, you know, you take a picture, it's not just for the moment, it's for a memory. And people today will take pictures just for the moment. Let's say you're shopping and you see something that your spouse wants. You take a picture, boom, you zap it to them and say, hey, do you want this? They say, yeah. Then you get rid of the picture. And it's not something you're going to be keeping for posterity. So it really depends on whether people start to integrate imaging into their daily lives or not.
David,
I have to agree with Suzanne. And also, here's the golden rule. You're not allowed to diss a technology until you've tried it. So those of you who are saying, oh, I would never want a camera on my phone, you haven't tried it. It is totally cool and addictive and fun just to snap little glimpses of your life. As Suzanne said, like we were house shopping this summer, and my wife would go off with a realtor, and she would shoot me, we don't own one, but we were reviewing these phones, she would shoot me photos of these houses, and I would call her on the cell phone and go, nah. It's a life-changing new feature.
All right, I'll have, as one of the persons who can't understand why you would use it, I'll have to try one. You're right, David, I'll take that rule into heart. We're talking about high-tech this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let me see if I can get another call in here. Joe in upstate New York. Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
Where in upstate?
Between Utica and Binghamton.
Wow, that's a big town.
No snow yet.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, just a quick recommendation. There's a great service called Audible.com, and you're talking about gift subscriptions. That's a great way to give somebody something that likes to read books, especially if they're traveling a lot. It's a real easy to use. If you sign up for a whole year, they basically give you the player to play the books on. And just wanted to make that as a suggestion. And also, if your experts could possibly just mention a little bit of advice about PDAs, pocket PCs versus the Palm operating system, what they might recommend.
All right, let me get a comment. First of all, you can get Science Friday on Audible. If you can always just download it and listen to it later. David, what about these little PDAs, pocket PCs?
Well, a lot of the distinctions are gone now. You can no longer say that one type has a bigger screen or more memory or more horsepower. I'm a particular fan of elegance and simplicity and beauty, and therefore I am a Palm OS fan. The pocket PCs are great in corporations where they run everything off an Exchange server and so on. But in terms of the number of add-on programs you can get for a Palm, I mean, whatever it is you're into, you can get great software for it. The screens are high resolution and beautiful now. That Tungsten T3, it actually collapses. It's actually an inch taller when you tug on the opposite ends than it is when it's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing of beauty, and they play MP3 files and they take pictures. So I'm kind of a Palm nut.
Yeah. Suzanne, you agree?
I would agree that Pocket PC really is more for the corporate user because of it's such an easy-to-use program with Outlook. And if you are in an Outlook environment, you just don't want to be using a Palm. Palm is really geared a little bit more to the personal user. I also want to mention that, you know, Microsoft, with their myriad of platforms, you have to watch and see where they are looking for that platform to go. And I think that they're eyeing the phone PDA combo space a little bit more than the standalone PDA space. So stay tuned and see what they're going to be saying in the future.
Mm-hmm. And one more quick question. If you're buying a digital camera, what's a good price point, David, for buying one and size of megapixels and things?
Well, it's a little bit like saying, what kind of car should I buy? I mean, you'll pay $100 more if you want brushed metal, tiny, chic. I tend to think, you know, 3 megapixels is a great size. That's good for prints up to, you know, 8.5 by 11 on an inkjet printer that look fantastic. You'll pay around, I don't know, $250 to $300 for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can, I would read the reviews online. There's a number of digital photography places, but it's all about what features you want, how bulky do you care it is, and what's the trade-off in photographic quality.
Suzanne, you agree, basically?
Yeah, I mean, Simple. It's about ease of use for most people. And then on the high end, it's all about being able to have manual control. So there's sort of two ends of the spectrum. And then you have to look at the kids' market. They want something that they can wear around their neck and boot up in 2 seconds and be able to snap right away. So it really does depend on how you're going
to
be using it.
And it would be fun to just be able to plug it into a printer itself and have the printer take over from there, too, right?
You can do that now. And with there's a new standard that enables you to hook up directly to any printer. It's called PictBridge. So it's maybe something to take a look at.
David, good luck on the merit. Hope you get home in the snow.
Thank you so much.
You can always arrive at my house and we'll give you something to eat. So thanks for joining us. David Pogue, state-of-the-art columnist from the New York Times, joining us in Connecticut. Suzanne Kantor-Kirshner, technology editor for Popular Science Magazine in New York. Thank you for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
Earlier we spoke to Josie Glausius from Discover Magazine. Kevin Waite is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Paul Masiello in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarians Key Molesky and Alphonse Finn. If you have comments or questions, write to us at Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, new address, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. Also, surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where we have Science Friday's Kids Connection, free material, free teaching material for students and classrooms. Also, we have Real Audio, Archives of Science Friday, and we have our Audible.com, where you can get a subscription and get Audible downloaded to you every week on your player. Have a great week and be safe. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.